Hello and welcome to a very special post-apocalyptic media podcast. We are today talking about Handmaid's Tale. Now, this is a unusual format for us because it's going to be a shorter podcast. We are just talking about Handmaid's Tale. So if you are not a Handmaid's Tale fan, you're not caught up to what's going on in Handmaid's Tale, I'm going to advise that you not listen to this episode. Let me give you a little bit more because we are actually doing more of these. We're going to do one for Attack on Titan and one for Fear the Walking Dead. This is a one-off for each of these three because we didn't have our main podcast this week and we got some thoughts on each of those shows. So anyways, this is our special Handmaid's Tale. If you're watching either of those other two, be on the lookout for that. But if you are not into Handmaid's Tale, I'm going to ask you to leave the podcast. Otherwise, you are going to get spoiled for what is going on right now in the plot. So anyways, that out of the way, we just finished watching the late episode and haven't like even 30... discussed it between ourselves.
Yeah, we finished about 30 minutes ago.
And so anyways, we wanted to do something experimental and have a discussion about the plot and what's going on just here on the podcast and give you our thoughts. So without further ado, I'm Derek. I am joined by none other than Uff Derek.
Under his eye.
Thank you.
Otherwise known as Stephanie outside of Gilead.
Stephanie, leading Handmaid's Tale journalist. So we're gonna have a good discussion. Let's get it started. Okay, so the episode ends with an explosion, and we have the peacekeeping. Like, what are they? They're bringing supplies from mm-hmm. the UN or something.
Yeah, from Canada and all the non-Gilead people, basically. Yeah, they're bringing medical supplies for the 24-hour ceasefire, and they just did a huge bombing in the Chicago area at Commander Lawrence's suggestion right before the ceasefire began.
What is Lawrence thinking? Is he trying to destroy Gilead?
I think he's playing the long game, but if he's too obvious about where his loyalties lie, they'll kill him, right? So he's got to do a few moves that are smart. I don't know. I have hope for, I think Commander Lawrence is playing a very long game. We saw him doing that before, right? Like,
yeah.
And he did it successfully. True. He makes himself look like he's loyal to Gilead's cause. That's what I think, but I think it's a very deep cover type of thing, kind of like what Nick is doing, except Nick isn't even fully aware of what Lawrence is doing. I think Lawrence has been playing Nick to get to where he is now, and Nick is not sure where Lawrence's loyalties lie either. Do any of us know where anyone's loyalties lie?
No. I don't trust Nick. We've seen like the God view of Nick and seen all of his private conversations and all this other stuff. And we have no reason to believe that he's like, just using June, but I believe he's just using June. He is 100% for Gilead. All of the stuff like, caring about protecting June and talking to, it's all bullcrap. He's just using her to uncover everybody who's involved in the resistance. It's ridiculous.
It feels that way, right? No, I can see that. And I'm surprised in some ways, like they had him meet with women who were at the very end, who were part of Mayday, so he could try to hear where June was, right? And if I did not have this God level view that they give us on Handmaid's Tale of Nick, which, like you said, even having that, you still doubt him. If I was just in the Mayday group, I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't be meeting with him and telling him where I thought June was, because from their perspective, every time Nick hooks up with June, June gets captured, right? Like every time Nick gets involved, June is later captured. And if I was with Mayday, I wouldn't trust him.
Nick like rose to the ranks within the government. Like he, from season one till now, he's risen up a lot.
He's risen fast. Yeah.
He's done a lot of things. Like you don't assume that he gets that level of recognition in Gilead without doing terrible things. I don't understand why you ever talk to Nick.
Yeah, I agree. And they've hinted before that he's done some awful things that we don't even know about, that they haven't even revealed to us.
Yeah. So yeah, like he was pivotal in the war, the original war, the revolutionary one. So
he was pivotal.
Yeah.
And he's on the council now, but he's like the lowest level of the council. It looks like he's on the council just for people to tell him what to do. Cause he's leading the front, the war front, but he's leading the war front in Chicago, which is one of the major war fronts.
I feel like in a previous season, he was made in charge of like their whole CIA, like equivalent.
Yeah.
I thought he was made in charge of that, or at least he was trying to be in charge of that. I don't know. Anyways.
It's been, the last season aired in 2019. So I keep surprising myself with things that I've forgotten. You know, like after each episode, I end up doing some research and looking back on things, because every episode that airs, I think, oh my gosh, I have a vague memory of this, but it's been a while and I'm going to have to go research it to look back into it.
Yeah.
Just like I had to research Janine's history last week to get a better, which is going to get a little off. I mean, it's on topic for what happened this week, but I'll hold off on that until we're talking about her.
Yeah, let me tell you what I'll never forget. I'll never forget that June told where those handmaids were and ratted them out. She watched two people give their lives to protect the secret.
That's right.
And like almost like immediately afterwards gives up the secret and puts everybody's life in danger who was part of hiding the handmaids. Like how many people did she burn who were part of the revolution when she did that? All because of her daughter, who she knew they had the whole time they had her daughter. Like that wasn't a revelation. Here, let's prove to you that we have your daughter. Well, duh, they have your daughter. They always had your daughter.
She's never not been in danger. And I don't know why she would trust them now and think, oh, well, now my daughter's going to be safe. Because no, she's never safe as long as she's in Gilead.
Yeah. To me, like there's no ideologic difference between what she did and just go ahead and go full bore into Gilead. Like why would you continue to be part of the fight against Gilead if you knew that you were that easily manipulated by them anytime? Like they always have that leverage over you.
That's true. I mean, she held out, you know, I give her some credit. She held out a long time with a lot of torture and being stuck in a box for a while. And who knows what that all did to her brain. Right.
Yeah.
But at this point, I agree with you. She knows that they have a thing over her that they can do whenever they want within Hannah and get whatever information out of her they want. So this episode ended with her being bombed and seeing Moira and possibly having a chance to leave and go to Canada. And this time she should take it. You know, all the other times she's had this opportunity and she didn't take it, which I always disagreed with. But this time, there should be no doubt in her mind because she can't do anything. She'll give up all the information because they have the ultimate. They know what to do. They know how to make her give up whatever. There's no point in staying anymore.
Well, yeah, let's hope that she has the reflection on that. I feel like we really disagreed with her decision before to not go.
Yeah, we did.
And really felt like she was being reckless then.
Yeah.
You know, just go back for her one remaining child who's still left, right? Or did she have two at that point held by Gilead? I know she had her baby, right?
Her second child just recently, I think, was delivered to Canada.
Okay. All right. So
Luke is taking care of her child now.
She saved one child. She went back. She saved another child. She's going for all three.
No, she only has two children.
Really?
I think so. Yeah. She has the child she had with Nick and the child she had with Luke.
Okay. All right. So there's a scene a few episodes ago of a kid who came back. He was like brainwashed.
That was just one of the children that was rescued in the Gilead operation.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, I don't recall if he had a special connection to any of our characters, but he was an example of how brainwashed those children are and what a hard time they're going to have. Even though it was right to rescue them, what a hard time they're going to have adjusting to freedom, essentially.
Yep. 2019 is a long, it was a long break for me. Let's just say that. So I mean, anyways,
we went through all of 2020 while waiting for the new season. And let's just face it, 2020 was basically 10 years long. So
yeah,
yeah, it's hard to remember what happened.
So, yeah. Okay. So, all right, let's stop beating around the bush. The big question on my mind, did Patchai survive?
Janine Patchai? Janine,
yeah.
Janine.
She was blown to smithereens, right? That would be so tragic if she went with June and she didn't survive.
She goes with June because she tells June that she feels safer with her.
Ouch. I thought the food was going to be sabotaged. Like maybe they hit a bomb in the food or something.
I mean, I'm a foodie, and if I was starving and there was a bunch of food sitting there, I would try to grab it too before the bombs hit. Probably. It's a weakness for me. I shouldn't be advertising that weakness, but there you go.
Yeah, now you know Steph's weakness.
I love
booby-trapped food.
It's so good. I'll just, anyway, I was going to compare myself to a different show. That's for a different podcast. Yeah. Janine, I don't want to believe that they killed off yet another handmaid, right? Not to mention that Janine is pretty much a fan favorite. She's great.
So it'd be a huge loss to lose her from the show.
I want to believe she's alive. But now I'm scared if she is alive that she's going to get captured, right?
Dang.
Which I don't want to see happen to her either. Oh, Janine.
Yeah. Well, circling back around, Lawrence's decision to bomb the place right before the ceasefire, I think is a terrible strategic decision. Like it is going to look so bad to everybody that they did that. Nobody's expecting, everybody's like, oh, seriously, the ceasefire is almost here. And that's when you launch this big offensive. It is not going to be seen well, I think.
You know, he has got to just be giving them bad advice to try to hurt Gilead, right? Because his whole argument originally was that we need to show some goodwill so that we can get some of these sanctions off of us. But then they bomb everything minutes before the ceasefire is supposed to start. How is that going to help Gilead at all?
Is it possible that he gave them good advice the first time, and because they didn't listen to him, he decided to reverse course and just tell them what they wanted to hear, which was something brutal, and, you know, kind of feed their ego in that way?
Maybe. I mean, feeding their ego would be a step along the way for him to try to gain more and more and more power again from the inside, to, you know, be able to hurt Gilead from inside. I mean, he's not advising an invasion of Canada, which would be really bad for everybody. He's advising something that's going to, I don't know, it's going to root out and kill some of the rebels in that area, but it's also going to hurt Gilead. Maybe get more, I don't know. It's just so confusing. What the heck, Lawrence? Lawrence, you're so hard to read, and you've always been hard to read. He's always been hard to read.
What's Aunt Lydia? Okay, so Aunt Lydia basically comes to Lawrence in his moment of weakness and makes a request of him he can't give, and he does the smart thing, and he's like, well, you give me power, and then I'll have the power to help you back. But Lydia, like, apparently, I think we're led to believe that whatever she gave Lawrence in that meeting, he was instantly able to use to parlay into a seat on the council and maybe even the authority to make this call. So, so first of all, how powerful is Lawrence now? Is he the most powerful? I don't know. And then Lydia, she was down and out. I thought she was done for. The show really convinced me that she was just going to shrivel up and die. Because I was like, there's nothing left to her story. You can't tell me that Gilead still has faith in her, because all her handmaids were rebels. She had the most rebellious handmaids in the world.
Yeah.
She failed over and over and over. There's no way Gilead was going to give her another shot. And then she found a way to legitimately seize power through the rumors that she's apparently been collecting for a long time about powerful men.
Yeah, and how can she still believe in Gilead when she knows all of this about the people at the top? When she knows all their dark secrets enough that Commander Lawrence was able to do what he was able to do, she probably knows even more she hasn't told him.
Yeah.
You know, how can she be such a passionate supporter of Gilead at this point, knowing what she does?
It's hard to answer that. I must just say that I think that it does mirror real life. I think people oftentimes you can show them how leadership is being hypocritical, but they still believe in their vision of what it could be and what it ought to be. And they feel like the people around them also believe in that vision. And they probably do, leaders, tend to be corrupt, I guess. But, I feel like that there are a lot of people in that kind of denial. So I can see it, especially it's all built on an ideology that was written into a book that the original commander's wife. I have been really watching the show for three seasons, and I still don't remember all the names.
You know, it's a political... It's this political ideology that is all mixed up with religion. So she being a fervent, this religious zealot for her cause, and it's all wrapped up in the political ideology too. I guess she's just, the leaders faltering and being corrupt isn't enough. She still believes in the bottom line of the ideology.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't for one second believe that she's doing a long con like I think Lawrence is, because when no one was around, she called, or just one guard who wasn't right there at the moment, she called for him to chase down the handmaids when they were running towards the train. She could have pretended to be knocked out for a while. She could have gone a little slower. There's all sorts of things she could have done. So I don't believe that she's playing any kind of long con. I believe she truly believes in her cause.
Absolutely. I don't for a second think that she's turned and is playing a long con. We've had so much screen time with her. I feel like we'd have had some tip off that she
I agree
in it for the right reasons. But I do think it's an interesting dynamic that Lawrence maybe is subversive in Gilead and she is a true believer, and that they're going to work together, presumably. At least he's convinced her that they have the same vision in mind, but maybe he's going to have to turn on her. Who knows? But I just think it's interesting. I love that actress. She was great in Leftovers. She's great in
Hamilton. Oh, I forgot about her in Leftovers. She was really good in Leftovers. Yeah. Wow.
In some ways, she was my favorite part of Leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not. I mean, she really comes alive there at the end, especially.
Yeah.
But the whole time she just played her character well. But this isn't a Leftovers podcast. This is a Handmaid's Tale podcast.
Handmaid's Tale.
So I guess we're starting from the end and working backwards. What have you to say about the storyline of the militia group that wasn't very ethical?
Yeah, no. I have no, I mean, I don't like Steven at all. And I think June had an intriguing idea of trying to connect with the Nighthawks, whoever they are. They have little mercy on the Gilead soldiers. They do a lot of bombing, apparently. I'm not very clear because they only mentioned them briefly. I want to know more about this Nighthawks group. I don't like the scavengers group. I mean, there are individuals in there that I'm sure are fine. I just don't like the leader. Steven, I think is his name. Steve or Steven. I'm going to say Steven. You know, Janine acted like he was her boyfriend, but Janine has this very bad history of, her survival trait is disassociation. That's how she survives. It's when Commander Putnam was assaulting her, basically, even outside of Gilead's protocols, she began to believe that they were in a loving relationship and he was going to leave his wife for her and they were going to end up together and raise the baby together. She created this whole fantasy world to make his assault okay and livable. And I just feel like she's kind of did a different version of that with the scavenger group leader. And she could have stayed there to and kept living in that to maintain her security and her safety. I just feel bad for her. I mean, she has her own survival skills, you know? She does what she has to do, but she had a breakdown after Putnam because it was too much, that disassociation. And I'm just, you know, I think if she had stayed, the same thing would have eventually happened to her in some way or another once this, what she concocted fell apart and she had to face the truth. But I'm just sad about Janine.
Yeah, poor Janine. I just want her to be alive. I want her to be fine. Yeah. You know, I think that it's interesting. The show does make that parallel. I didn't realize that until you brought it up. But the whole, believing in a brighter future with the guy. That guy, he bartered for sex with desperate women who had no other choice. So,
yeah,
you know, that's pretty low. I think that what the Gilead people do is like a different level because it is, you know, forced on them. But at the same time, you know, I think there is like an element of force for people who have absolutely no other choice.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line, is that Steven probably convinced himself that he wasn't forcing them. But when it's a choice between do this or 99.9% chance you're going to die, is it really? Right. It's not a choice.
Right. Exactly. So I think it's interesting that they paralleled and contrasted it in in that episode. It's a dark storyline, and it was
very dark,
very, you know, kind of realistic feeling because, you know, of how war zones are and, you know, everybody's just trying to survive and ethics is kind of going out the window. And I think it was pretty good. I was glad to see it end. I'm glad we didn't follow that for a long time. So, gosh, how interesting. June actually made it out. Maybe. I mean, we're going to find out, I guess, next episode, hopefully, if she's able to get smuggled out. I guess you'd have to get smuggled out. Or would Gilead be okay with people leaving the area?
No. They want all their handmaids back. That's their power. They use their handmaids to, you know, to have children that are in short supply. So
what if they don't know their handmaids? What if they think that this is rebels from Chicago who have decided to go to Canada? Like, would Gilead
I guess it really depends on what the terms of their ceasefire are, you know? I could see it going either way. I could see it being a problem and they have to smuggle her and hide her, or it not being much of a problem because the Gilead soldiers already had to fall back for the bombing. So maybe there won't be a lot of them around right now anyway, and they'll be able to get her out without much trouble whether it's allowed or not. Can we just for a second talk about a couple of the bad decisions that June made? I was just thinking about how right before the bombing, she was just walking in the middle of the street and, you know.
Yeah.
I've heard some people basically say, well, maybe, because I looked at a discussion real quick about that particular question before I got online, before I got on this podcast. And there were some people trying to say, well, maybe she was scared that people might be hiding in the buildings and they'd grab her. But I don't know. There's soldiers, there's bombings.
I don't even know. Well, I mean, like, did she want to be seen? Did she want people to discover her? Because then I guess it makes some sense, the fact that you would walk out in the open like that. But if hundreds of hours of playing Battle Royale games has taught me anything, is that you need to be close to cover so that if somebody starts shooting, you can dive behind something. And you're never more vulnerable than when you're right out in the open like that. So, you know, unless she was just like, whatever happens, happens, you know, que sera, sera, and I'm going to walk out in the middle of the street. Maybe that was her attitude, but I guess, did she continue out there when Janine was with her? No, they stopped. They ran over to find the food.
Yeah, they're looking for food and stuff. You know, maybe that was part of it, because I remember... You know, the other thing that I really disagreed with and had trouble with was when she was still at the scavenger hideout in that night when there was the fighting and the bombing going on. And she went and looked out a window while carrying a lantern.
While carrying a lantern, a big old lantern. You can't see anything in the night sky except for, oh, look, there's a window with someone looking out of it right now in the middle of this battle, where I don't know where the people with guns are. That was so dumb. She, Leah, holding that, if she'd have just put the lantern lower, it wouldn't have been on her face.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times have we heard the stories of the bombings in World War II and how people were instructed in entire towns to black out their windows so that no one would know where people lived, so they wouldn't know where to bomb?
Yeah. And June that is like, yeah. No, it doesn't even help, by the way, when there's a window there, like that light is not getting nearly where she needs to be looking. It's making more reflection than anything.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good point. You're right. The darker it is in the interior, the more clearly you can see outside anyway.
Yep. Yep. So either A, continuity error, or B, June is really not the brightest tool in the shed. That
a lot of PTSD going on with her.
Well, that's true. She's been through a lot. Let's just say she's been through a lot. And yeah, and that's a pretty tense situation right there when you can look out the window and you can see a war being fought.
Gosh. Yeah, I have to be at least, you know, a little nicer and think about how, you know, there have been certain stressful times when things have happened, and sometimes I've reacted and looked back and been, oh, yeah, I handled that correctly. And other times I'll look back and go, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking? Yeah. Why did I do that? So, I mean, she's got PTSD. She's been in nonstop stress. I guess I really need to give her a break a little bit. But all right. If you are in a city that's being bombed, don't go out at night with a lantern in the window. That's not a good idea. Just anyone listening, if you're ever in that situation.
Yeah, if you take nothing else from this podcast, let it be that. Don't give yourself away with a lantern when there's a battle going on nearby. Yes. You put the lights low in your house, and then you can see out the windows more clearly, and you also aren't drawing attention to yourself. Such a better idea. Okay, so wrapping it up. I'm going to make a prediction because I don't care about anybody else on the council right now. There is Lawrence and there is Nick and there is Aunt Lydia. So I'm going to make a prediction that we're going to have a triumvirate situation at some point in the plot. That's going to be those three in charge of all of Gilead somehow.
Mm. Interesting.
If that comes true, then you know, I'm going to point everybody back to this.
That is an interesting prediction. Huh. Chaos is a ladder. It's Commander Lawrence.
I mean, yeah, Lawrence apparently vaulted himself right on up from like almost irrelevant, and he needed Nick to like vouch for him so he could have a home to live in or something.
I mean, Commander Lawrence had a lot of power earlier on in the series, but yeah, then he lost it all because of June, basically. And I guess Nick is more of the chaos is the is a ladder type of guy.
Oh yeah, Nick backstabbed a lot of people to get where he's at, and that's been an interesting story. I almost feel like we could have gotten a bigger glimpse of what all he did and how he climbed the ladder, but we got a lot of it and it was really good. So yeah, we'll end it here. I just want everybody to take from this that June sold out all those handmaids. She was very reckless with her lives. And so I am officially critical of June right now.
And I am officially just very worried about Janine and don't really know what to think either direction
with her.
Yeah.
Tweet at us. Tweet it. We look at tweets.
We do.
So if you tweet at us and say, you know, tell us your opinion on that, we'd like to hear it. Is she going to be living when we finally find out what happens to her? I don't know. I feel like it's this tragic tale of almost getting there, and maybe she's not going to survive, which will be heartbreaking.
That would be. Yep.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back to our regularly scheduled programming next week with our full post-apocalyptic news podcast. It's a weekly podcast. You can hear it every Friday, and it lasts about an hour. That's our average time. So anyways, we hope you join us there. Thank you all for being with us, and keep watching Handmaid's Tale.
Bye.
Blessed be the fruit.
Oh, yes, but under his eye.